Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Welcome to Ask Amy from What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, solving your parenting dilemmas one question at a time. This week's question came from our very active Facebook group, facebook.com/whatfreshhellcast. Moms answer and ask all kinds of questions for each other on there. So if you're not part of that group, come join us. Anyway, Jennifer in the group asked, any thoughts on how to get my 8-year-old son to listen or read anything outside his go-to genre? Jennifer, you don't specify what genre that is, but I'm going to suspect it's the Captain Burp-a-Lot and the Poopy Pirates from Boogertown kind of stuff, which didn't exist when I was growing up, but it definitely was all both of my boys wanted to read when they were that age. My overall piece of advice is from one of their grade school teachers, because I was talking to her about this. How do I get them to read anything that isn't that? And her response, which surprised me, was that she didn't care. She wanted them to read, and the boys loved reading those books, and she loved that they were reading, and who cares? Let them read as much of that as they want to. So that is comforting in a way, and she doesn't know what she's talking about. But yes, at some point, you do have to diversify slightly. And so here are some things that might work, have worked for me. The thing you have to keep in mind, speaking of education professionals, is that kids first have to learn to read before they can read to learn. We, as grown-ups and older kids, read about things that they're interested in. But when you're young, you're still learning to read. And I don't just mean in the kindergarten, first grade kind of way. Some kids, even still, like second grade, third grade, older than that, are still decoding, really working as they read. And so the subject matter itself has to be really enjoyable, really enticing, really funny, whatever it is, because it's still hard work for them. So your kid might still be a little bit in that phase anyway. As he becomes a more confident and fluent reader, it becomes easier to help your kid find books that are about the things that they're interested in. Volcanoes, whatever. I remember one of my sons got really into Pompeii. There was a popular song about Pompeii, and I told him what that was, and he was fascinated. So we found a book about it and then another book about it. Really, really cool stuff in the world that you can get them interested in. There's a series of nonfiction books called You Wouldn't Want to Be. And it's like, you wouldn't want to be a peasant during the French Revolution. You wouldn't want to be living in Salem during the witch trials, stuff like that. And they deliver, with funny, gross out details and stuff, tons of history. And I think that those are a great resource for this kind of kid to move towards something a little more sophisticated. So check those out. If they're reading about the New England Patriots or kitty cats, as long as they're reading, it doesn't really matter. The trick is, I mean, I don't have to tell you, you're pushing back against decreased consumption, right? I know I read many fewer books than I used to when I didn't have a phone in my hand, and all of us are fighting the same battle. So modeling reading in front of your kids is also really potent. And it's not reading an article on your phone. It's not scrolling Facebook. It's putting the screens away, letting them see us use, whether it's a cookbook or it's an article in a magazine, just like reading on paper. And if you can set aside a reading hour, a reading time, family silent reading, my kids' school calls it DEAR, drop everything and read. Give it a shot. Call it something cool. Make it funny. Make it family. Make it we're doing it too, not just the kids. When I was little, in the summertime, I mean, not little, fourth, fifth grade, I can remember my big summer's day activity was walking to the local library branch and handing back in the several books that I had read and getting some construction paper leaves put on my branch of the summer reading tree. And I wanted so much to make that branch look just so full of construction paper leaves. I know there was a prize at the end. It was probably like ice cream or something. I don't remember what it was. I think it was like an ice cream party at the library. That was secondary to me to seeing this visual proof that I had read all these books. And so that's something else you can try in your house if you can't get to the library this summer, of putting it up, stickers, charts. And yes, maybe you do have to go for ice cream at the end, but something hanging in the middle of the house where your kid can see that you're proud of the books that he has read this summer, it might get you somewhere. And then there's the library. A lot of us don't go to libraries anymore because there's Amazon, there's Kindles, there's everything at your fingertips, and who's reading anyway? But taking your kids to the library where they have a card and they can pick out as many books as they want can be really, really powerful. And I think also that they can give up on a book. If they're 10 pages into a book and they don't think it's that interesting, there's another one. Try something else. Find something you like, that they can be in charge of their choices and not stuck with something hard or boring. That also might make it a little bit easier. It doesn't sound like your kid is a reluctant reader, but in case they are, one thing that has worked for me is to get the audio recording of a book and the book and have my reluctant reader read along with the voice. That really helps too. Try all these things. Something will work. If they are reading Captain Underpants in the meantime, hooray, good for you. You're already winning. Jennifer, let us know how it goes. Send us your parenting questions and we might answer yours next. Email us questions@whatfreshhellpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter-Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.